We are looking at Mizmor Kafzain again. We are looking again at this very, very famous Mizmor Tehillim, which, as I indicated, some argue was written in the days of when David was fleeing Shaul, or, as I said, those that argue that it was written by the time by self-exiled, fleeing from Avshalom, one way or another. The great changes are from verses 1 through 6, and then the switch. Incidentally, you're not conscious of this, perhaps. The first section looks like it's longer than the second section, but actually each of the lines in the second section is longer, and the rhythm changes in the process. Hashem ori v'yishi mimira. And the question simply says, if Hashem is ori v'yishi, if God is my light and my salvation, from whom could I possibly fear? You will see that he's referring to God in the third person. And there is an interesting irony in the process, pointed out by Hrav Soloveitchik. And that is that sometimes in the Tanakh, when we refer to God as if he were third person, it's not as if it's distant. On the contrary, it's as if he's always there. I'm going around my business, and he's in the background in my shadow all the time. So I can speak of him in third person with a strong sense of his presence. Whereas sometimes when I refer to then God in the second section, and I'm talking to him in second person, Shema Hashem Koli Echa, listen God to my voice, it's precisely because he's no longer there, and I'm calling out to him to ask him to come back. So the strange thing is that when it looks like you're speaking to God directly, that would be when he is distant. And when I'm speaking of him in third person, it's precisely because he's there. The notion of Hashem Ori is, some argued, similar to what it says in the 23rd Psalm, Hashem Ro'i lo echsar, whereas supposedly Ori, Ro'i sound like, God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ro'i means my shepherd.
Yeah.
However, there's a major difference in the process. There is David in his youth with his sheep, and he sees God as relating to him. Just as he takes care of his sheep, God takes care of him. And Gam Tielech Begeit Salmavet all comes from the scenery of a shepherd leading his sheep near the desert, away from the vultures and the predators. That's not the case here. The word of God being my light is that I'm in darkness. I'm in darkness, and I need something that will show me the way. And the very fact that I call him Yishi, my salvation, indicates that I'm already in a state that needs saving. But if that's the case, then I is he trying to, in a sense, build up his own courage? From whom shall I be afraid if Hashem is my light and my salvation? Hashem me'oz chayai, oz is strength. He is the strength or the stronghold, the fortress of my life. Mimi efrad, from whom am I afraid? There's no one for me to fear. There's no one for me to be afraid of. No one scares me. Because alai mireim, when evildoers, ra, mireim, come close to me, lechol et psari, to eat my flesh. He's imagining himself like the lamb. Now he's not the shepherd, like the lamb, and it is attacked by the wolves. Who are these mireim? Sarai ve'oivaili, those that besiege me, those that are in enmity with me, those that hate me, my enemies. Hema kashlu ve'nafalu, past tense. They are the ones that stumbled and fell. From present, he suddenly says past tense. Why? Because David was relying on the fact that God will save me surely again. He's been my light, my salvation, as he was in the past. I've been in tough situations before. I've been away, running from before from enemies that were out to get me. And guess what happened? They're the ones that stumbled. They're the ones that fell. God was clearly with me. And as a result, if an encampment should camp around me, which by the way they actually did in the days of Shaul, lo yirali bi, my heart will not be fearful. Im takum alai milchama, if battle or war should rise up against me, bezot ani boteach, in this I trust. What is this that I trust? It's not all. It's not Yishi. It's who? And remember, it's Bezot, not Bezeh. In this. And it's not indicated in what he actually trusts. Chazal tell us in the promise. In the promise that God made that he would save his people. In a different opinion in Chazal, both of these in Vayikra Rabbah, it says in the fact that God had said at the time of Yam Suf, when they stood at the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh were coming at them from three sides and there was nowhere but the sea in front of them, God told them, be quiet. Now he told Moshe, don't worry. And Moshe told them, you needn't fear. Hashem yelachem lachem. God will do your battles for you. Just keep silent. It's okay. Nothing to fear. What should you do? Go forward. Go forward. You go out into the water. Go forward. God will do battle for you. So there was a promise. Rashi says, Bezot is not a promise because that was a promise way back then. What is he trusting now, given that he's mentioned his own experience in the past? It was faith, emunah. The emunah that was expressed in the words that Hashem ori v'yishi, God is my light, he guides me in my life, and in the end he also saves me. It's that light that keeps me from faltering, it's that I trust. Malbim says not emunah, but dveikut. Dveikut means cleaving to God, and the fact that I search for him, and that I want him. That's what I trust. And he quotes here the Rambam. And the Rambam tells us as follows, Hashgacha pratit, is something that occurs to people who cleave to God. How so? The Ribbono Shel Olam's approach to you is your approach to him. Like panim el panim, as your face reflects another face. If you turn away and rely on something else, he'll let you rely on something else. But if you trust completely in him, then he turns to you. The Abarbanel says that this phrase comes from the concept of Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yeminecha, God is your shadow on your right hand. A shadow moves exactly in concert with you. So if you rely, if you call out to him, he's there. But if you don't, then he's not there. And if God is indifferent, it's because you've been indifferent. If you run your life as if you're being watched, he watches you. If you run your life as if there's no one watching, you get hesped upon him. He lets you have it your way. You want without me? Do it. You're on your own. You're on your own. Let's see what happens. And that might then explain what the next line is. Achat sha'alti. Me'et Hashem, ota avakesh. There's only one thing that I ask from God, and it is what I seek. I ask it and I seek it. In other words, I do anything I can to get it. What is this? This is Shifti Beveit Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. So to the Malbim, the Zot refers to just that. The being in the presence of God all the days of my life. Now, Rav Sharir argued, because he yearned for Beit Hashem, which was also the Beit HaMikdash, where the presence of God was palpable, where one could see the Nisim and Niflaos that appeared there on a daily basis. And there was a strong sense that the Shekhinah was with them. And having to leave Yerushalayim, that's what he lacked. So you'll say, where is the house of God? You'll remember that when Shlomo built finally the Beit HaMikdash and dedicated it, he says, I recognize that no matter how beautiful this building is, nothing can contain God. Where is God? Everywhere. But the sense that he's living here, the palpable sense of his presence is here, that's the sense of it. And what therefore is it? Lachazot, to visualize, to see the pleasantness of God, ulevarker behechalo, and to visit on a regular basis his temple. So one can be in the house of God without necessarily being in the Hechal. One can see the pleasantness of God without necessarily visiting his Beit HaMikdash. Because where the Shekhinah is where, and remember what it was ultimately, build me a Mishkan and I will dwell in your, in their hearts. But now there is a longing, as one would when one is under terrible stress, to yearn and I think that every person comes to a point in his life where perhaps he feels this, where they would like to again be embraced by their mother, again feel like somebody's holding me, protecting me, lifting me up. Ki yitzpenenu b'suko, he should hide me in his shelter, suka being a place hidden from the sunshine, b'yom ra'ah, on an evil day. When bad things happen, it's just like, take me away. Somebody hold me. I don't want to think. I don't want to be there. Yastireni b'seter ohalo, he will hide me in the hidden part of his tent. Batsur yeromemeni, and he will lift me up high up on a rock. I want you to imagine the fact that you are being surrounded by hyenas, and suddenly something lifts you up and they can't reach you. No. This sense of being out of the reach of any of your enemies. Vata, and now? Remember, he's not in that position yet. All that he's doing is he's asking for it. He's asking for that. And he's asking for it, and he's trusting that it will happen based on his past experience. And now, Yarum Roshi, if God would only do this, my head would again lift up over all of my enemies that surround me. And I will, now comes the pledge, what he'll do, hopefully if he succeeds and he overcomes, is Bechoha Be'ohalo Zifrei Torah, I will again bring offerings of triumph, blowing the trumpets of triumph, hence the notion of Torah, blowing the shofar. That's why it's also related to Rosh Hashanah. Ashira Bazamar Hashem, I will again sing and play music to Hashem. So the person who's writing this says he trusts that he will again have God's help. God will again show him the way out of it, make him overcome his enemies, so that he can again come back to God's presence. But if he were in God's presence, if he had that protection, if he was safe right now, he wouldn't be seeking it. He wouldn't be seeking it. Harav Soloveitchik tells us that the sense of seeing the pleasantness of God, seeing, being close to Him, is possible, he says, in one of two ways. He says, and sadly, we have to go through both of those in our lifetimes. The first is when you're healthy, when you have the gifts of life and prosperity coming to you, and everything goes your way. And the sun is shining, and you didn't hit a red light, and mm-hmm. it just goes just the way you wanted it to as you were yeah. on your path. And there is a sense somehow that there is wind under your wings. And very often, that kind of sense of that God is with me and helping me is the easiest way of losing Him. Because very quickly, because He's nothing more than the wind behind you, pushing you forward, you think that it's me that's doing this. And you take it very easily for granted. And you have a sense somehow, not only that it was your brilliance and your wisdom and your talent that made it all happen, but you also have a sense somehow that it's coming to you. Absolutely. Sikimtmil. I have it coming. This is the way it should be. And then you come and hit a brick wall and you stumble on the first time when it just doesn't turn out to be that way. And you falter in that hubris and you fall. And it comes all crashing. And at that point, you're looking for the help and it isn't there. And it is at that point that you begin to make deals. So if you'll be with me again, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And there is no answer. No voice answers. Which brings us to stage two in life. And that is when you've lost the presence. When you've lost that which you took for granted. And segatnished. You've lost your health. You've lost a loved one. You've lost your job. It's not going the way you thought it was going to go. At that point, only when you hit rock bottom, do we hear the next part. And therefore, this is really not two songs. It's two sides of a coin. Nothing more than that. Shema Hashem, Koli Yekra. Listen to me, God, my voice as I call. Or when I will call with my voice. V'chaneni, v'aneni. Chaneni is have graciousness. In other words, I don't deserve this. I know I don't deserve to be answered. And why don't I deserve to be answered? Precisely because I forgot who's the wind under my wings. Precisely because I thought that I have it coming to me and I reached a point of hubris and therefore the fall. Ve'aneni and answer me. Now you don't ask somebody, answer me, unless what you've gotten is deathly silence. Lecha amar libi bakshu panai et panecha Hashem avakesh. And this is very difficult now. We understood that the first six verses were in third person. He was speaking about himself and of God in third person. That was not a problem up until now. The language was not difficult. He switched to second person speaking, please listen to me, and I'm talking as a dialogue between me and God. If that's the case, what is amar libi, my heart said, lecha, bakshu panai, I'm talking to, who am I talking to? Beseech my, or seek my face, whose face? And then, second person again, et panecha Hashem avakesh. Is he talking to God? Is he talking to his heart? What is he saying? Let's look at this. Comes Rashi and says as follows. Lecha, as your messenger, for your sake, and my heart is a chelek elokam mimal where the Ruach HaKodesh rests. where the Shechina rests, says to me, my heart, inside me, there is a voice that says to me, seek my face. Because who's talking inside me? The Shechina. Yeah. He was waiting for an answer. He was calling to God. He was waiting for something to come out of a thunderbolt, or from the heavens, or from the waters. But instead the voice came, a still silent voice, from where? From within, says Rashi. Amar libi, my heart said. And what did I hear my heart say? Seek my face. And I knew that it was the voice of God. So I turn to him and I say, I seek your face, God. I seek your face. What does it mean to seek your face? What does it mean to seek God's face? If you go back, you will remember that Moshe Rabbeinu went up again to the mountain after Chet HaEgel and started pleading for mercy. And he asked God, Hareinina darkecha, teach me your ways. Hareinina kvodecha, show me your glory. And God told him, Ki lo yereni adam v'chai, no human being can see me and live. So he cannot see God's face. Says Chazal, what did he want? What was the question to see God? Didn't he know that flesh and blood cannot see the infinite? What did he mean is, teach me what you are. I want to understand you. And that's why he said, Horeni darkecha ve'eda, and I will know. I will know how to lead the people. I will know how to run my life. I will know how to adjust things if you would only show me your face. So Hashem told him, get into the crack of the rock. Ve'avir et kol tuvi, I will pass all my goodness before you. And you will then call out, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, etc. What did he want to see? He says, you will not see my face, but you will see my back. And Chazal tell us, he showed him somebody that looked like the Baal Tefillah, the Chazan, the one that's leading the crowd, wrapped in a talis. What's the point of saying that God looks like somebody wrapped in a talis? Can you see the person who's truly wrapped in a talis? The Baal Tefillah wraps himself up, and by the way, a proper Baal Tefillah, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't have a Baal Tefillah who doesn't cover his head completely and obscures his self, because he's nothing more than a messenger for the crowd. His ego is beside the point. What did God teach him? God teach him how to behave. Because you were created in the image of God, I will show you what is a mensch. And a proper mensch, in some respects, if he's going to become godlike, needs to obscure his ego and his body and say, I'm more than what you can see. This is not me. This is the shell in which I am. You can see my actions. You can even hear my words, but you don't know me. Me is something that's obscured from you. You can see how God acts. I will pass all the goodness, the bounty, the beauty of this world. That's part you can see. God himself, you cannot see. Where then is he? Well, in the same way that your essence, your heart, and I don't mean the part that your cardiologist takes care of, I'm talking your essence, your core, can't be seen. But you know it, and you're conscious of it. It's your consciousness. Imagine that to the world. If you recognize what that is, then you're beginning to recognize that that ego, that self, that I of the universe, is the Ribono Shel Olam. And it can speak to you. It can commune with you. That, face to face, you will understand. So you can know the Ribono Shel Olam by a deeper delving into what I am. Now, why then, says Fono, is it plural? Bakshu panai, seek my face. To whom was he speaking? Was the voice not only speaking to him? It should say, if the voice inside was saying, seek my face, it should say, Bakesh panai. Says Fono, In Hebrew, face is always plural. Your faces, panecha, yevakshu panai. Why? Kemaim panim el panim. As water reflects a face, so is one heart reflecting another. Mm-hmm. Why do we have multiple faces? Because we have multiple faces. We're multiple aspects. We're not flat. We're not two-dimensional. In Hebrew, face is always plural. Like heavens is always plural. There is no singular. There is no singular for a human face. You can say pan, a side of an object, not of a human face. A human face is multiple. There's the smiley face, there's the sad face, there's this, and you're showing all of the faces. So the multiplicity of faces is the multiplicity of God. It is a diamond, it is not one facet. It's not a clear pane of glass. It's multiple diamonds, you understand? Mm-hmm. It's got lots of facets. And that's why it's plural. And so that the Sfono manages to explain. Harav Sharir argues that the word lecha does not mean for you, for your sake. But lecha is, like it would be spelled, lecha dodi. Get a move on, said my heart. Seek the face. Seek him. And so therefore he now turns to God. My heart told me to seek your face, right? I seek your face, God. Al tastel panecha mimeni. Don't hide your face from me. Hestel ponim, as you will remember, was foretold. In a moment we will go down and see some of the parallels from this to the Tfilav Moshe. Don't hide your face from me. When a person is angry, they can't look you in the face. When a person wants to ignore you, he won't look at you. When the Ribbono Shel'Olam kivyochol hides his face, it's not that he can't see you, it's that you can't see him. When he distances himself from our lives because we've done things that we shouldn't do, our sins create a barrier. They create a curtain between us and God. Al tat be'af avdecha. Don't turn away your servant in your anger. I won't let you talk to me. Get out. I refuse to have you. Ezrati hayita. You were my aid. Past tense. Al ticheni ve'al ta'azveni. Don't abandon me. Don't leave me. Elokai Yishi, the God of my salvation. Please notice the connection. Orivi Yishi Yishi. I can do so many parallels between these two parts to prove their unity. Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'hashem yasveini. For my mother and my father abandoned v'hashem yasveini, and God gathered me. First of all, there are parents, unfortunately, who leave their children.
Yeah,
we know that. And whether you like it or not, whether they want to or not, they will ultimately leave you. And it's sometimes, and the reason I mentioned this earlier, is that when you'll see sometimes how people in horrible emotional distress go into a fetal position and have this fantasy of being held by mommy again, but mommy's not alive anymore, and she's not available. And so that sense of my parents, my wanting to have that love, that unconditional love, that nurturing, is now transferred to a higher source that never leaves you. The Hashem Yasveni, and God gathered me. So while Rashi says, they made me, they were intent on their own pleasure, and then they turned away from me, sadly, there are too many such children in the world where the parents, out of their will, abandon their children. Sometimes they don't abandon them by actually leaving them physically, but they abandon them emotionally, and they're just not there for them, and they're not present for them. Or if they're present for them, they're present for them so long as the child is behaving the way the child, they want the child to behave. It's about their ego. It's about their self-fulfillment. But what happens when the child is not exactly what you want it to be? But all I'm trying to say is that one way or another, this is a universal condition. The universal condition is that even the best parents, even the most loving parents, will leave you. And there's nobody to call, and you can't call your mommy. And when you don't have that capability, now some people sadly have a mommy that they can't call. And that sometimes is even more painful than the sad mommy that you could have called, but she's not around for you to call. You were my help, for my mother and my father left me, and God took me in. He gathered me in. Horeini Hashem Darkecha. Teach me your way. Uncheini, guide me. Be'orech Mishor. In a smooth, easy, plain path. Leman Shorerai. For the sake of. And that is a difficult word. Some say that Shorerai is instead of Tzorerai, it means my enemies. I don't know what your translations do with this. Some say that it comes from the word ashurenu, from those that are watching me and are waiting for my downfall. Others say shorerai comes from the word for singing, for the sake of my singing, my song masters and the singers, so that we can again sing. Remember, because he promised Ashira v'azamra laHashem, if for no other reason then one day I will again sing you, help me again for that purpose. Al titneini benefesh tzarai. Don't hand me over to my enemies, those that besiege me. Kamu bi eidei sheker, because false witnesses have risen up against me, maligning him, libeling him. Vayifach Hamas, and from plural, eidei sheker, it's singular, and he blows. Vayifach ha'er, Hamas. I told you in the past, is something like violence. And that's, of course, a reference, according to Rav Sharir, to Avshalom, who's a blowhard. And then comes the next part. Lule he'emanti, if I had not believed, lir'ot betuv Hashem, that I would one day again see the goodness of God, be'eretz chaim, in the land of the living. This is a conditional phrase that has no end. Rashi wants to attach it to the previous verse. My enemies are rising up against me. They blow violence. Don't hand me over to them. And the unspoken word is, and they would wipe me out were it not for the fact that I believed that I would again see the goodness. In other words, were it not for my faith, they would have succeeded. Others say, no, this is clearly a different tone. Lulei he'emanti lir'ot betuv Hashem, if I had not believed in the goodness of God, in the land of the living. Where's the land of the living? Some say in this world. Some say in the next world. Some say dafka eretz Yisrael. What do we call a cemetery? Beis Olam, the house of eternity. Beis HaChaim, the life of the land of the living, the house of the living. It's all because we speak in ironic terms. Yiddish is very, very ironic. And, you know, when you want to say about your granddaughter that she's gorgeous, you say, oh, yeah, miskait. Oh, she ugly. We speak backwards. We don't call things by their real name. We call them the opposite. You understand? Yeah. It's certainly the case that in the context of this, where he is trying to find light and salvation in this world, against his enemies, the last thing he wants is to see the goodness of God only in the next world. He wants to see it here in the land of the living. Yeah. What would be the point of it? Clearly, if there is not going to be hestoponim, if God shows his grace in this world, you would see the goodness of God here. The goodness of God and his face of God are one and the same. So were it not for my faith, that again I would see the goodness of God in this world, finish the thought, I would have long despaired. He does not finish his thought. I would have long since died. I would have long since been finished, were it not for my abiding faith. not in the next world, but in the possibility of making this a better world here in this world. And that connects beautifully with the next line, in which he is speaking to himself, but in a sense putting a message in the bottle for all Jews throughout the world. Kaveh Lashem, keep hoping for God. Chazak v'yametz libecha, be strong and courageous of heart, and kaveh Lashem, and keep hoping. Keep hoping, keep hoping. That is the source of his faith. And that's why Rashi says, Bezot ani boteach, right? This is what I trust. This undying hope. Now, on what basis can we say this? There is no question that the author of this mizmor had before him a few sources. I'm referring in not necessarily in order, and I'm talking about the book of Devarim, Lamed Aleph, Parshat Vayelech. That Moshe Rabbeinu knows he's going to die. He's going to hand over the mantle to the next generation. He says it to Yehoshua. He says, Chazak ve'ametz. But he also then speaks to the Jews and tells them, this is your leader. He actually appoints him in front of everybody. And he tells them as follows, Chizku v'imtzu, be courageous, be strong and be courageous. Al tir'u ve'al ta'artzu mipnehem. Don't ever be fearful, don't be terrorized by them. Ki Hashem elokecha, hu ha'olech imchach. Hashem, your God, he's the one that's walking with you. You don't need me, he said. God is going with you. Lo yarpecha, he'll never let you go. V'lo yazvecha, and he'll never leave you. And this is Moshe's charge to the people, knowing that he's not going to go with them. And he not only tells them that Yeshua's going to go with them, but he's actually telling them, it's not Yeshua that you need to be worried about, nor me. It's God is going with you. Now he then proceeds later on in that chapter. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem speaks to Moshe. Hincha shochev imavotecha, you're going to lay down with your fathers. In other words, you're about to die. Vekam ha'am hazeh, this nation will rise up, and this rising up is uprising and rebel. Vezana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz, and he will whore. He will show the ultimate infidelity with gods of the strangers in this land. Asher hu bashama b'kirbo, and God foretold that we would abandon him and go after idols. Ve'azavani, and he will leave me. He told Moshe we would leave him, and this was written. Ve'heifar et briti asher karati lo, and he will violate the covenant that I made with him. And he tells us that the nation will do this. Ve'chara api b'yom ha'hu, I will become furious with him. I will rage against him on that day. Ve'azavtim, I will leave them. Ve'histarti panai mehem, and I will hide my face from them. V'haya le'echol, and they will be consumed. Remember how he said that they come around him to eat my flesh? They will consume them. U'matza'uhu ra'ot rabot, and horrible bad things will happen to him. V'tzarot, and terrible troubles. V'amar b'yomahu, and on that day, when all those troubles happen, when I've left him, and it looks like God has abandoned the earth, he's saying that the nation will say, Halo al ki en elokai bikirbi, it's because God is not in my midst. Metzauni ha'ra'ot ha'ele. Almost as if God needs to leave us in order for us to recognize and not take it for granted. So it was foretold, all of the things that happened in our history. And if that's the case, this part is not merely one man's story, but every man's story. And our nation's story even more so. You will also recall that after Chet HaEgel, after they built the golden calf and violated the covenant of Avraham, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to plead with God for mercy. And so after God tells him, okay, I won't, remember he said, I'll wipe them all out and I'll make a new nation out of you. And when he says, no, erase me from your book, I don't want this. He finally, God relents and says, okay, we will punish them slowly. They will die here, right? And then he then goes and asks something else. Ve'ata imna matzati chem be'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, hodieni na et dalkecha, inform me, what is your way? Ve'edacha, so I will know you. Leman emtza chem be'enecha, so I can find favor in your eyes. What does knowing God and finding favor in His eyes have to do with each other? But if I know God, then I know how to imitate Him. I know how to be like Him. I know how to direct my life. And that's what Moshe said. And he asks, remember, Horeini Hashem Dalkecha, teach me your way. See how this is reflected. And God told him, His response to him, Panai Yelehu. My face will go with you. V'hanichoti lach, and I will guide you. Remember, my face? And he said, Uncheni be'erach mishor, and guide me on the smooth, clear path. I will guide you. We know part of God. We see part of God. Because we can't see the whole thing. That he gave us, the face that he gave us, was the Torah. And he told us how to seek him. And in some respects, we also have it imprinted in us. So that is, according to the Rambam, looking at the ways of what comes to us, even by observing our own lives and our own nature. That is the way one finds, if you like, the face of God, reflected in us.